Today is Tuesday, February 19th, 2008. This is the seventh day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, 60 present.
Our prayer for the day will be offered by the Reverend Robin Chance, representing St. Christopher's Episcopal Church, Cheyenne. Reverend Chance?
Let us pray. Heavenly God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct this House of Representatives of the beautiful state of Wyoming with the gifts you have bestowed upon them. Knowledge to understand the needs of the people of this state, our country, and the world. Wisdom to discern the wise use of the resources of Wyoming and its population, sincerity of heart to guide them, and creativity to think beyond the boundaries of conventionality. We pray that in our time, those who speak where many listen and write what many read will be guided by your will, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, its will righteous, and its living holy, to the honor and glory of your mighty wisdom. Amen.
Please join me in our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 18, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millen.
Representative Goggles.
Members of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
House members, in the gallery above me, actually above you, this morning, it's my privilege to introduce some students from St. Stephen's Indian High School. If you remember last year, we passed a bill to assist their school, their chaperones, their administrators, their school board, and a member of the Arapahoe Business Council. And also today, Jake Yellowplum, raise your hand. Jake is 18 years old today. Let's give them a... Welcome to the Wyoming House. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
One of them. Which one do you know? Okay.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Floyd Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, time is short, and tomorrow is guaranteed to no one. And the reason I say that is because too often I have failed to acknowledge people that have come into my life that have made it more rich. I understand from the morning paper that one of our House members is going to be taking a journey in another direction. And I heard rumors to that effect, but the paper pretty much solidified that rumor. And I just want to publicly acknowledge the respect and admiration that I have for my good friend, Representative Doug Samuelson. So, Doug.
What's he going to be?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to point out one person that makes a difference. You don't think that if you're just one person, you can make a difference. We have an individual that came to our little valley back in the mid-90s and took a hospital that was borderline to a clinic. And now, some 10 years later, we have six family practitioners, a general surgeon, orthopedic surgeons, four of those. We have a neurosurgeon and two cardiologists. And I'd like to introduce you to the man who made that all possible, the CEO of Star Valley Medical Center in Afton, Mr. Steve Perry.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce my intern from all the way from Colkville, Wyoming. She's going to be here for 2 weeks, Brittany Davis.
Members of the House, our doctor of the day will be Dr. Doug Parks from here in Cheyenne. Representative Meyer.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, may I privilege the floor?
You certainly may.
I would like to introduce our nurses for the day. And again, we are privileged to have our nurses from the Wyoming State Hospital driving clear across the state of Wyoming from Evanston, Sue Weber and Dorothy Seisenbach. Please welcome them.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the students in the red jackets And they're up on the south side here. If they would stand, these fine young people are from Triumph High School here in Cheyenne. Their chaperone, Les Beacon, is an auto body and auto technology instructor at Triumph. The students are currently involved in a community service project to promote career and technical education. This afternoon at 3 p.m., Governor Friedenthal will sign a proclamation that proclaims February as the Career and Technical Education Month. The pages will be passing out candy bars to each of you, and these students ask you to take five to recognize the importance of career and technical education. Please welcome Triumph High School.
Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce up in our West Gallery a past legislator, Mr. Mark Harris.
By my count, there are four of us that have not taken privilege of the floor. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 128, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. No, Gingrey. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 141, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson. No, Gingrey, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 52, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 107, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Berger. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 3, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Harshman, Jones, Peterson, Philp, Warren. No, Jorgensen, excused, Berger. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 77, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirk, Scoggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 102, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirk, Scoggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 11, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Wallace, White. No, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 6, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 88, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlett, Teeters, Wallace, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Samuelson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 143, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Gilmore, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 160, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Gilmore, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dant. Signed, representing Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 82, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Escobel K., Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubnow, Millen. Conflict, Stewart. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 118, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Hallinan, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubnow, Millen, Stewart. No, Escobel K., Hales. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 155, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Escobel K., Hales, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubnow, Millen. Conflict, Hallinan, Stewart. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to refer House Bill 117 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 117 is re-referred from Committee Number 4 to Committee Number 2. Members of the House, today is a special day. After 24 years of service to the people of Wyoming as a physician and a community leader, Dr. John Bourassa was sworn into the United States Senate on June 25, 2007 by Vice President Dick Cheney. As you know, Senator Bourassa was appointed to replace the late Senator Craig Thomas. In the United States Senate, he serves on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, and the Indian Affairs Committee, and also the Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Bourassa was elected to the Wyoming State Senate in 2002 and was reelected in 2006. During his tenure in the Wyoming legislature, he served as chairman of the Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee. He was also a member of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee and the Minerals, Business, and Economic Development Committee. Dr. Bourassa is known as Wyoming's doctor for his work as the medical director of Wyoming Health Fairs and for his television and radio reports and newspaper columns providing Wyoming's residents with important health information. Please join me in welcoming home United States Senator John Bourassa.
Well, thank you very much. It is great to be back. It is great to be back. And yeah, there were the 5 years in the state Senate, but there were the 20 years as the doctor of the day where I always knew you had the better donuts and the nicer conversation if I came over to the meeting room on this side early in the morning. It is terrific to be back and, you know, looking at the yellow daffodils on the desk. It's special because I know Friday was Cancer Awareness Day here in the legislature, and then yesterday Susan Thomas was here about the Race for the Cure. And, you know, last year you invited me over here to talk about the Race for the Cure because Bobby Brown, the love of my life, and I were the honorary co-chairs last year. And between then and now, she has finally agreed, after much begging, to say yes, and now I'm wearing the wedding ring, and Bobby is my wife. So I'm very pleased. Thank you. It really is great to be back. I was in Gillette with Tom Lubnow a couple of weeks ago. He was doing a deal on carbon sequestration, and I say, this guy really has risen through the ranks. He understands the thing perfectly. He said, John, I'm going to talk for a while, then I'll introduce you. I said, okay. So he gets to the microphone. He stands there. The photographer from the Gillette News Record comes in, takes about 15 pictures of him. And not until the photographer actually left the building was Tom willing to introduce me. So that afternoon, the Gillette News Record comes out, and Tom, whose picture was on page one? Yours. So, but the Wyoming legislature is absolutely great preparation to be serving in the United States Senate. And I get there and think about things and look at bills, and I say, okay, you know, what would what would this committee do? What would people in the Wyoming legislature think? How would we discuss this bill? And then I try to make my decisions based on the things that that we do. Things in Washington, some of them are quite similar to the times that I spent here as Doctor of the Day and as a member of the state Senate. And right when I got there, John Warner, who's a senator from Virginia, he's 80 years old, he used to be married to Elizabeth Taylor, been there a long time, and former Secretary of the Navy. He said, Senator, I need to talk to you about something very important. I said, wow, this is pretty good. So I went over and sat next to his desk like I would do next to Tom Lockhart, and I said, yes, Senator, what is it? He said, it's my left knee. So that's the way it is. There are some profound differences, and Wyoming does it better than they do it in Washington. And Lorraine Korberg last year had a joint resolution in a sense of the legislature about where Wyoming's lessons ought to be used in Washington. And, you know, we have bills on single topics, and the amendments have to be germane here in Wyoming, and in Washington they don't. We have a line item veto here in Wyoming, they don't in Washington. We have a balanced budget amendment. We have a balanced budget every year in Wyoming. They don't have that. And when a conference committee gets together, it can be about anything. It's not just the differences between the two bills. So things are so different, and once again, Wyoming, I think, gets it right. We have a two-year budget cycle, the budget system, and then the general session. They need to do that. So there are about six areas where Washington really needs to learn from Wyoming, and I'm going to continue to make sure that that happens. You know, yesterday was President's Day, and I'm just going to make just a couple of comments. One is, if you're driving from here to Laramie, there's the big bust of Abraham Lincoln on the road, and it says, there's a little inscription, and it said, now is the time we must think anew and act anew. And that is so true for Wyoming even today, even though he said it, 150 years ago. It's time to think anew and act anew. And you're doing that with CO2 sequestration, all of the issues about global climate change, because times truly are changing and energy needs continue to go up. So we need to think anew and act anew, and you're doing that, and you're showing that leadership in this whole project with General Electric, with the university. I mean, it's time for the university to continue to take a real leadership role, as we're doing with the School of Energy Resources. So it's time to think anew and act anew. And then in 1903, Teddy Roosevelt came to Laramie, and I have a picture of him in my office wall in Washington, and it's a picture of him speaking from Old Main, and he's talking to a group. 10,000 people showed up to listen to him in 1903. And you think about how many people that was based on the sparse population of our state back then. And he gave a speech where he said, people of Wyoming, I believe in you and in your future. And he was right to believe in us and in our future. I mean, we've done remarkably good things over that last 104 years. 25 years ago, Ronald Reagan came to Wyoming to Story Jim. And he was out campaigning, and it was overflow crowds, huge event. And he gave a speech, and he said, the thing I love about Wyoming and the Rocky Mountain West is that people here still believe that the future is ours to shape. And that's what is so good about the Wyoming legislature. For us here, it really is still about the future. Our best days are still ahead, and we all believe that the future is ours to shape. So I want to thank you for making me feel so welcome. I want to help in any way that I can. If any of you need to get in touch with me, some of you still have my cell phone number. I know Lockhart's still complaining about the shoulder. I still carry the same cell phone in my pocket with a number that many of you have. My direct email that I check all the time instead of the office email is my old state Senate email address, so you can get me that way, although right now I'm paying for that account, so it's okay. No worries there. I really do want to thank you for making me feel so welcome, and I want to thank you for all the incredible work you do. Thank you very much. It's great to be home.
bill re-referral. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask that House Bill 169 and House Joint Resolution 10 be referred from your committee number 9 to your committee number 5, Ag.
Without objection, House Bill 169 will be re-referred from committee number 9 to committee number 5. Without objection, House Joint Resolution 10 will be re-referred from committee number 9 to committee number 5. Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I request that House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists, and House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, be referred to committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 155 will be re-referred from committee number 10 to committee number 2. Without objection, House Bill 82 will be re-referred from committee number 10 to committee number 2. Representative Dave Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to House Rule 24-6, I would move that House Bill 33 be referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. The reason for this is a veterans tax exemption bill that will have considerable financial consequences to the state of Wyoming, and I feel that the Appropriations Committee should be able to look at that before we debate it on the floor.
The motion is in order and is debatable and could be settled with a voice vote unless someone chooses to ask for a roll call vote. Would there be any debate on the motion to refer House Bill 33 to committee number 2? Representative Illaway.
Do I debate the motion or do I debate the reason for doing it?
Representative Illaway, I think you can debate the motion.
Let me try, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't aware this was coming up. This particular piece of legislation is one that we had a year ago. Money was put into that exemption because that does reflect on property tax. And the only reason this bill was brought back this year was to work on the language of the bill that talked about real property and the spouses and the children that could be on the titles. That bill was put into the hopper, and the Veterans Commission came back to me and said, may we add some additional dates because the federal government has changed the dates again on those conflicts. The conflict that we would have is that when the federal government changes the conflict dates and a veteran goes to the VA to get his benefits, then he comes to the state to get his benefits, and then if our dates don't mesh, then the veterans say, now what's going on? Trying to determine how many particular veterans are in those new dates that the Veterans Administration and the Pentagon said should be handled in the bill, so to speak, is problematic. I don't know that sending this particular piece of legislation to Appropriations when they don't have plenty of time to do anything except look at Appropriations. This bill does not have an appropriation. And for them to try and figure out how many people this would affect can, A, stall their process, but also can stall the process of this particular piece of legislation. The primary impetus of this piece of legislation was to change the way real property is titled. So I do object to sending this particular piece of legislation to appropriations for those reasons that I've stated.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the motion, the fiscal note on the bill says the tax exemption fiscal impact is indeterminable. It won't matter if you send it to appropriations. They won't be able to tell any more than the fiscal impact.
Further discussion prior to the movement. Representative Days-Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not arguing with any of the language in the bill at the moment, but this bill will have substantial consequences to the state of Wyoming and to our budget. And I feel that before we vote on such a legislation that is going to have an impact on our final budget, that the appropriations should at least have a chance to examine it and come back to us and kind of give us a report of what they feel that the cost will be. And I believe they have time to quickly go into that statistic. Let me remind you, in 2006, we only had to appropriate, I think, like $1.6 million. In 2007, so many people jumped on the program, it went up to like $3.5 million. Now we're going to open it up for an additional 6 years of people that could qualify for this program. I just think it's important to kind of have some sort of idea of what type of tax consequence it's going to give to the state. Thank you.
The motion is to re-refer House Bill 33 from Committee of the Whole to second reading to Committee Number 2. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
The motion has failed. Further bill re-referrals. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by Management Audit.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Management of Public Employee and Retirement Systems Act.
Senate File 9 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to construction of statutes.
Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Representative Nicholas.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to judicial retirement.
Senate File 68 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance recapture payments.
Senate File 61 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by the Select Natural Resources Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate File 63 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Select Natural Resources Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to wildlife and natural resource funding.
Senate File 69 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish funding.
Senate File 3 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to foreclosure and redemption of realty sold under mortgage and execution.
Senate File 4 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to subdivisions, large acre parcels.
Senate File 11 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48, introduced by the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 48 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by Representative Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming retirement system regarding hospitals' participation in that state retirement.
Senate File 57 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Members of the House, we are now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 3.
House Bill 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to campaign finance reporting.
We have some amendments. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3 and ask for its favorable introduction. What this amendment does is take away the amendment we passed on Committee of the Whole yesterday, allowing, well, basically the amendment takes it back to mandatory electric filing by 2010. What we did with the amendment yesterday is basically to create two separate electronic online databases, one that we're going to spend $2.5 million on, and a second that we're going to ask the Secretary of State to hand scan and somehow organize an electronic file format for people to be able to read online. I believe this is burdensome and unnecessary, and you all remember the argument from yesterday, so I don't need to go back into those points. I guess I just want to make a couple points on what this does in the need for additional staff, the need for an additional computer programmer or someone with computer expertise. We talked in committee that this would just be as simple as scanning documents and putting them in Adobe Acrobat files online. You're going to need to establish some form of organization database online to hold these scanned reports, keep them in a logical file fashion so people can easily find them online as well. It's not as simple and easy as one person making minimum wage scanning files online. It's going to require a separate electronic database for these scanned forms, and I don't think that's the direction this body wants to go. And I would argue that if your opponent is filing online and you're not, you're still going to find someone to go access their information online because it's easier to get to see how much they've raised and what they're doing with it. So I guess I don't believe in – I believe anybody who wants to get a computer or who wants to be – anybody who wants to run for office should be able to file online and can access a computer. I just think there are also better options than what we did yesterday on how to do this. We can move the effective date back to 2012. That would give people 4 years under the current law to get use of this electronic system. We can move it back to 2016. But I think that's a much better way of doing it than this dual system that somehow we're stuck within. We could also make an amendment to just make the bill state elections only and leave counties out of it. I know there's some hesitation that some people running for certain county offices might not be able to use this electronic system and file normally, but I would hope that the majority of this body thinks anyone who's going to be elected to a statewide position or in this legislature will know how to use a computer. So there's a chance of good third reading amendments to this bill to come back, but what we did yesterday I think is problematic. I think it creates more workload on the Secretary of State and more confusion for the general public. So I'd ask you to pass this amendment today, take the bill back to where it was, and we'll probably have this discussion on third reading again tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for first reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3. I think the good representative from Cheyenne talked about it correctly. If we want to end up with the office downstairs that takes care of elections hiring additional people to scan documents that are not online, that are not electronically filed. That's just gonna add additional paperwork and additional folks downstairs. The second thing I think that was brought up in committee meeting, that when we have the electronic filing, this does not only talk about the receipts and expenditures. It says that you can electronically file for election online. You will be able to pay with credit card. You do not need to come to Cheyenne to do so. We're trying to make this a user-friendly electronic filing. We've got now 60 folks in the House, and we all know how to use computers because we're given a computer. Wyoming has become extremely computer literate. Over 65%, according to census, of people in Wyoming know how to use and do use regularly a computer. I would urge you to vote for this amendment. It makes sense.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I fail to see how this is a user-friendly bill when we're going to exclude 35% of the state who is not able to use a computer. I would also have a good question about whether or not other states who have similar systems allow alternative filing. I would bet they do. I don't have that data, but maybe that would be a good question for the sponsor.
Representative Stubson.
2 points. One is with respect to those states that allow parallel paper filing, I think the other aspect that you have to look at is what was the expense of the system that was set up, because it is very clear that the $2.5 million appropriation that has been justified by the Secretary of State is based upon the efficiencies they get from an electronic filing system. We were told in committee how they will be able to poach a little bit from their UCC filing system, some of the technology, so that they can make this as affordable as possible. But when you throw in a parallel filing system, you're really throwing in an entirely different system that has to be paid for. I think the second point that's worth making is when we're talking about barriers to campaigns running, the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, has had this requirement of mandatory electronic filing for 6 years now. And, so nationally it has not been seen as a barrier for people filing for office. I think the other part, especially since I'm one of the few people on this floor that hasn't run for election, so I can speak with some bravado about the election process probably. But, when we run for election, we're asked to do a number of things that we can't do. I mean, I'm not a graphic designer, but I'm going to need some designs and some signs and some of those sorts of things. And what we do is we go out and find people to help us. That's just the nature of the beast. And so this is nothing more and nothing less than that. The county clerks will be able to assist. The Secretary of State's office will be able to assist. There'll be those resources available to make sure that everybody that wants to file for office can do so. So I don't think that's a realistic barrier to this bill, and I support the amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I'm not going to belabor this point with you here today. We have a lot of business to take care of. We had a good discussion about this yesterday. I believe it is imperative, and I think it's very important that we as a state provide alternative choices of filing to begin with. Now, if we had started this process in 2003 when we allowed the Secretary of State the opportunity to implement electronic filing, we might not be having this discussion here today. But I've never seen a system go online yet that didn't have some glitches. And let me tell you, if this system fails in any way when you're trying to file, you have no other alternative. The way this bill is written right now, you are immediately in violation. You can't even call in and explain. I mean, you can call in, but it doesn't make any difference. You're still in violation. So this is it's a brand new system, and to come at it and make it automatically mandatory is a mistake. And you're also assuming that because 65% of the people in the state are computer literate, but that means they've also got good internet access and capability that is consistent and reliable all the time, and that is just not the case around the state of Wyoming. So I think it's really important that we maintain the choices, alternative sources, ways of filing. I don't think it's that onerous. I just can't imagine that they're going to have to hire someone else in the department to go down and scan a few returns that might be filed manually. They will have to scan them in and post them. I just think that we need to take our time. We need to do this. We need to do it right. And the way to do it is to make it voluntary to begin with rather than mandatory, on and against the amendment.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a fundamental debate about which is the greater good, the public interest or protection of the rights of the individual. In terms of the public interest, it is in the interest of the public to be able to go online and to search without driving to Cheyenne to find out who has financially supported the people they're thinking about voting for. In terms of the rights of the individual, it is important that anyone, no matter what their qualifications, if it's constitutionally sound, they should be able to run for office, and they're not precluded because of a certain type of technological ability. For that reason, tomorrow I'm going to be offering an amendment for an educational component. My concern with the bill as it existed yesterday, and the reason I supported the amendment that is being discussed being stripped, was because I felt that basically the state was saying either you're computer literate and we don't care if you're not. I believe that it's in the interest of the state to provide education for someone who doesn't know how to do it. I don't think they should fill out the form for them, but I do think it's the obligation of the state through their county clerks, just as we did with voter registration, to be able to teach people how to be able to electronically file if they don't want to go and hire a professional to do it for them. For that reason, I think that we actually could strip this amendment as long as we support the idea that the state is willing to educate people so that everyone is able to file electronically, and if we can have one system that's in the public interest. And for that reason, I today will be voting in support of the proposed amendment.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I listened with interest to the good representative from House District 43 that would suggest that you not only have a requirement for election of age, residency, declaration of party, but now you have to be computer literate. And I think maybe that's a stretch to have that kind of requirement for people in the legislature. So I'm speaking on and against the amendment.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I've always supported the right for people to know, and I hold no secrets. At least I don't think I do. But the point is, with this amendment, I'm really curious just how many people or how many organizations really research those records, financial records that are put in. The only time that I've heard of it being investigated is maybe one or two organizations in the state that really look at that. And again, you look at the amount of money that's spent other than the large communities and big contested races that usually are public knowledge anyway, there is no problem. And I question the idea of having to make it electronically available for a few and put a burden on 35% of the people in the state. And I guess I'm not thinking so much of the legislators as I am some of the local elections that some of those local elections, there's absolutely no way some of them are computer literate. And I think until we know more, I guess I'm going to have to stay with the way we have it, voluntary, until we get the system up running and, as they say, educate some folks on it. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Meyer.
Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment. Hearing the discussion that we had during the committee hearing on this bill, it was pointed out that the person who is running for office doesn't have to be the one that is submitting the information. They can go to their county clerk's office. They can go to the library. There are other sources. There are people in their community. There will probably be people on their campaign committees who can help. This is something that is needed in our state. We are behind other states in this. That information is public. We need to get it out there. In the bill, there is sufficient time for this to be implemented. It is going to be expedient for our Secretary of State's office. So I urge you to pass this amendment. Let's get this done. It can be done. There are sources out there for people to use computers. If they can't use it, there is help there. I urge you to pass this amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Mr. Speaker, this goes beyond just being an issue of educating those who don't want to file electronically. That doesn't deal with the problem of those that don't have reliable access. There's no guarantees that the system's going to have the reliability that it needs to get started, that you're actually going to be able to access it. How many times have you gotten on someone's website and tried to transact business or go in and look at something, and you couldn't get there. You couldn't make the connection. So then you sit there and you think, well, is it my computer? Is it the company? Do I call them? How many times do I try? And this bill, there's no other alternative way of meeting the letter of the law, and that is that the report has to be filed in a timely manner. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I've never once heard the county clerks say that they would be willing to file these reports on behalf of individuals. So on and against the amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to respond briefly, very briefly, to the good representative from Park County, and I agree there's not a lot of people who go look at this information, but it's more the thought that this information is available and easy to find if they need to. And I guess that would be my argument. I'm in great agreement with both legislators from the Bighorn Basin. I think the education component would be a great aspect. And I believe that the bill, I mean, it's not perfect. You're going to have some glitches in the system. I mean, right now in the way we file, we trust the people who carry mail. We trust the people who operate the power companies and the fax lines. I mean, there's, you know, certain trusts inherent in the filing process we have to have. I guess I just remind the body that there are better ways to do what the people have been arguing against this amendment. We can move the filing date back to 2012. We can limit it just to state officials. But I think the way that we set up the process now with the amendment we passed yesterday creates a very onerous and burdensome two different way to, I mean, I, what we've done is now we're encouraging people to file and put that on electronically. So we're not talking about electronic versus not electronic. We're talking about filing online electronically versus sending that in and having some in the Secretary of State's office put that all online electronically in a separate format, or actually probably spend the additional workload in inputting all that data into the regular filing system, which I imagine is going to happen anyway. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
There is some doubt. All in favor of the motion, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 3 has been adopted. There is a second amendment. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 3 and would ask for your favorable consideration. Essentially, what this amendment does is it takes the current appropriation of $2.5 million and reduces it down to $500,000. I, like many of my colleagues on the floor, have become quite disillusioned with the appropriation in this bill. If you look at the Secretary of State's justification that was passed out by my friend from Laramie County. You can see wild guesses as to what this might cost. And then when you get down to the bottom line for the vendor to build the system, it essentially lumps the remainder of the appropriation into that category. I am not satisfied with appropriating money this way. I was actually, by happenstance, in the Appropriations Committee when they discussed this legislation. I was not convinced by the argument that was given by the Secretary of State. I think it would be a good opportunity for us to pass this and add some accountability to this piece of legislation by allowing the Secretary of State to go to the Senate Appropriations Committee and maybe do a little bit better job to come forward with a detailed estimate as to what this is actually going to cost instead of just dumping $2.4 million into a program we have no idea what it's going to cost. Thank you.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, let me read you something this morning. Wyoming is the only state in the country that does not have any campaign finance disclosure available online. Of the 49 states with reporting capabilities, 37 use a searchable database management system. Since we are not reinventing the wheel with this project, we spoke with states that have had successful projects as well as vendors. While in Portland, Oregon, for a particular meeting, in 2007 meeting last July, we visited the office of the Oregon Secretary of State in Salem for a firsthand look at their application. Through our discussion, we learned that Oregon had paid to date approximately $7.5 million and were already working on additional modifications estimated to cost $1.5 million. In addition, we spoke with the elections director of the state of Washington, and he indicated their system cost approximately $11 million. We also spoke with a vendor who has implemented a campaign finance system in other states. Because the scope of this project is not specifically defined, they estimated the cost to be between $2.5 and $4 million. What Secretary of State's office has done in the last 5 years, they've been responsible for building the Uniform Commercial Code Online Filing System, $1.2 million appropriation, a new corporation's filing system, including online corporate annual reports, filing $560,000 appropriation, and a voter registration system, $4.5 million for application and labor, $9.7 for all costs through 2010. They believe that their estimate is accurate for a project of this scope. We did go before the JAC. We did present what the CIO had his projections and so forth. All we can do is to say this is what they estimate to build this system will cost. Just because somebody thinks that they ought to be able to do it for $500,000, if we're going to do the system, let's do it right. They're going to beg, borrow, and steal from every state that they can get their hands on to make sure that the system comes in on time, hopefully under budget, because anything at under the $2.5 million would revert back to the general fund. I think these folks have been responsible. They report to the Corporations Committee on a yearly and many times throughout the year, so they've done a good job with their systems. I would urge you to defeat this amendment and allow this project to move ahead.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this because we deal with this in the Appropriations Committee every session, and it's IT. We now have in the state a chief information officer who's extremely knowledgeable, came from a state where they've been doing a lot of it. In fact, they're ahead of us in many areas. Just to quickly run over the history of the state's conversion, the Secretary of State's office was the first to really take it on. The Oil and Gas Commission had already developed a fairly sophisticated system, but that's a separate commission. Secretary of State's office developed the corporate system, which has been referred to. I was able to use it to file for an LLC and pay my fine with a credit card because I was late. It's very convenient. It was followed up by the state engineer's office. They came before us in appropriations and said, here's the deal. This is how much money we need. This is what we ought to do to make the water records available to everyone. And the direction from our committee was do it in half the time that you estimate, because these things are very important. One of the most important elements is to look at the systems we're using in state government before we convert them and make them rational systems. The next group was the DEQ, the same thing, and they need to cooperate with the state engineer's office, with the Oil and Gas Commission, and with the BLM on issues that are very important to our state. And what I've learned from going through the exercises, it's important to get the right system first time through. We've got plenty of examples of doing this our way, not taking advantage of other people's work. These issues are not unique to Wyoming. So I urge you to oppose this amendment. If you'd like to look further into it, please visit with any of us and look at the detailed budget books or volunteer for the Appropriations Committee. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I've sounded like a broken record on this issue right from the get-go. And I don't dispute anything that the representative from District 16 just said about the value of the systems or the quality of the systems that we've installed in the state. But I've been asking since the first time it came up, where's the budget? What is the justification for this amount of money? And somebody can say, well, they just throw $500,000 out there. Well, they just threw $2.5 million out here. And I'm telling you, from everything I've seen, there's no more justification for the one number than the other. So everything being equal, I like $500,000 better than $2.5 million. If there's a justification for $2.5 million, they ought to be able to provide it. They've given me two explanations. First of all, I got this little thing, and I even went out and asked some of my mentors in the legislature, and I said, am I really off base? Is it inappropriate in the Corporations Committee to question the expenditure of this kind of money? Does it just go to appropriations, and we just look at the substance of the bill and never the appropriation? And I was told, no, it's more than appropriate for the initial committee, which was the Corporations Committee, to inquire into the cost and the justification for it. Then the next thing, I get a little pat on the head that says, you know, really not your business, not anything that you should concern yourself with. Well, my mentors told me that's wrong. The next explanation I get is, well, we called around to some other jurisdictions, and they said it was so many millions of dollars, and so based on just calling around and talking to some people, we came up with $2.5 million. Then I bore in on it some more. Finally, they send a budget, and this budget is pretty cool. It says consulting for specifications, $50,000, hardware, $220,000, software, $318,000, time-limited AWAC IT, $90,000, vendor to build the system fills out the rest, $1,822,000. So it comes out to $2.5 million, not $2,498,000. It just comes out $2.5 million every time, which tells me there's no thought going into this. And so I continue to object to it, and I continue to say that we ought to be able to have a budget. We ought to be able to have some explanation for $2.5 million. And if it's just a deal you pull up that says $2.5 million, then my co-sponsors and I are pulling up another one that says $500,000, and I'll be darned if I can find any justification that tips the scale more toward $2.5 million and less toward $500,000. So I urge you to vote for this amendment. If there's real justification for it, they'll come back and defend it. But they ought to come back and defend it with something besides, well, we just called some other jurisdiction, and they told us that this is probably about what it cost. So on and for the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is $2.5 million on a new program. While the overall concept of the program is good, let's be very careful how we spend our $2.5 million on this. For the amendment, thank you.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you. I guess what I wanted to say is if we're going to piecemeal this at $500,000 the first time, if you look at the sheet the Secretary of State gave us, where would you piecemeal? We have $500,000 to work with, so I guess we'll buy the hardware and the software, but we won't have any instructions on how to run it. We won't have any people to be able to take care of it. I just think that, you know, we need to go ahead and belly up to the bar and go ahead and give them the $2.5 million to get this started. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also speak in favor of this amendment, but I think I may come at it from a slightly different tangent from the rest of you. And I want to talk about a bigger issue for just a second, and that is, as has been said before, these informational technology in general, computer software, hardware, we see it in budget after budget after budget. And we have a department, the Department of A&I, that has almost $500 million in their budget that, as far as I know, the only committee that they actually deal with is the Appropriations Committee. And we have fragmented $2.5 million here, $3 million there, lots of $1 million flying around coming out of all the different agencies related to this one core issue of technology. And it seems to me that we're throwing a lot of money at a very fragmented way at something that needs to have a more holistic view and somebody who's paying attention to the big picture, and I don't think we have that now. While I fully support the intention of the bill in order to make that kind of information accessible, searchable, able to be analyzed by the public, I'm deeply suspicious of this particular budget and would urge you to vote for the amendment.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was here 6 years ago when we had this discussion, not in the body, but I was up there in the gallery when we were doing appropriations, or you were doing appropriations, back and forth saying, computers this, computer that, how can technology cost so much? We really need to rein this in and have someone be accountable and look over these numbers and, you know, be able to justify them. And that's why we created the Chief Information Office, which now all computer requests go to. They sign off on that they agree this is what a system's going to cost. And while $2.5 million might not be the best number, they do have documentation that other states have spent between $8 and $14 million on these. $2.5 seems like a heck of a deal to me. And so I would ask you to vote against the amendment and keep the bill alive.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, most of these things aren't done in-house, and you have to have what we call an RFP, request for proposal. You put many of these items out for bid, but you have to have the money so you can award it. I would be more comfortable if we'd bring back an amendment that would say money that's not expended by a certain period of time would revert back to the general fund, and that would hold everybody's feet to the fire, and we'd be able to see what the real cost would be on a request for proposal. Thank you. On and against the amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure probably these comments are going to surprise some of you, but I am on and against the amendment. We just reversed our prior decision and implemented a program that is now mandatory. There's no other, by January 1st, 2010, there will be no other alternative ways of filing or doing business candidate-wise with the Secretary of State's office. So to try to second-guess their number now and send them out to come up with a system that's 100% foolproof, able to be accessible, able to do what we need it to do, I think is not in our best interests. They have asked for $2.5 million. We have just as a body decided that that mandate is going to stand, that we are all going to be subject to mandatory filing. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt and give them the resources that they need to have a successful system up and running by that deadline date, on and against the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You know, I could have been happy with any of a number of things that have been suggested here, but they have not been forthcoming. There has not been anything from that office that said, we'll get RFPs and we'll design the process that we're going to use to build this system, and the funds that we don't use will revert to the general fund. We never heard that. We never heard they're going to get RFPs. We never heard that that excess funds would go back. We didn't hear anything. We just heard $2.5 million and just accept it and like it. And that's what I don't like about that, and that's why I support this amendment.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to follow up on the last statement by the good representative across the hill. They do get RFPs. As was mentioned very specifically, we have a chief information officer who is experienced, is qualified, reviews every IT expenditure in this state over a certain amount, and the amount is in the thousands. I don't remember the exact amount. We used to have a very uncoordinated system. Every agency did whatever they wanted. If they were well-funded and independently funded, if you will, they developed a good system. If they weren't, they scraped by and they had an innovative person and developed a system which would not integrate with other agencies. And in the bottom, at the end, did not help the state. This is an authorization of expenditure. I am reasonably sure, in my mind, as a member of the Appropriations Committee, they won't spend the entire amount. They will justify what they spend, and we will end up with a system that's effective and works. And I urge your defeat of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, I really respect all of this debate on this issue, but this is about the future. It has gone through appropriations, and yes, it has not been in great detail except for what you have received. It is a plan. It is to go out to bid. We have language to protect these funds that we would be appropriating. If you look at page 5 and you go to line 1, it says, other purpose and unexpended, unobligated funds remaining from this appropriation shall revert as provided by law June 30th, 2010. The appropriation shall not be included in the Secretary of State's 211-212 standard biennial budget. This is important language in passage of this bill because we will be reviewing it and they will be required to give us reports as to what the plan will look like, how much it will cost. But in order for them to even move forward in finding a system that would be appropriate for the state of Wyoming, we need to have this legislation and be assured that we would be committed to spending some amount of money. So I would urge your defeat of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had no idea this debate would take this long. I'm sorry for that. I would not have brought this amendment if this bill was going to go through on final passage directly from here to the governor's desk. It's going to the other body. I think we need to encourage the Secretary of State to come back with something more than just a little list of 5 ways he's going to spend $2.5 million. I don't think that's acceptable. I think because we're dealing with public funds, it requires a higher degree of scrutiny than we've given it. I also would like to point out that I think it's very dangerous for us to compare ourselves to other states and other state systems. If Oregon can do this for $2.5 million, I would argue that we can do it for much less. There are 7 times as many people in Oregon as there are in Wyoming. And I don't have any idea how many elected officials they have in totality, but I guarantee you it's substantially more, probably 10 times that what we have in Wyoming. I would ask your support of the amendment.
The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 3. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. The amendment has failed. House Bill 3 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17.
House Bill 17, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to community colleges regarding the Community College Commission.
House Bill 17 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25.
House Bill 25, introduced by the Education Committee and School Facilities Committee, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety.
House Bill 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding veterans' property tax exemption.
There are two amendments. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I would move for adoption of second reading amendment number one. And what this amendment seeks to do, it's, I consider it a cleanup amendment. And if you look on page 3 of the bill, and this is the part of the bill that refers to contracts for deed and veterans who are listed as purchasers on contracts for deed and their eligibility for the property tax exemption. One concern that I had is that you can have a contract for deed that has been recorded that is no longer valid or effective, but under the current language, there would still be a basis for a claim for the exemption. So I've moved to insert valid and effective contract for deed just to ensure that, you know, you're only going to be able to claim the exemption if you have a valid contract for deed. The second change that I've suggested or removing is to allow for not only the contract for deed to be recorded, but evidence of the contract for deed. Typically, when you enter a contract for deed, the parties will file some sort of memorandum of sale or something like that because they don't want the terms of the actual contract in the public record. This just allows them to do that and to still be eligible for the exemption. So with that, I would take any questions.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I view this as a friendly amendment.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 33. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 33 has been adopted. We are now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 33. Representative Dave Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to withdraw Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 33. Thank you.
Without objection, second reading Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 33 has been withdrawn. House Bill 33 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 44.
House Bill 44, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to Crime Victims Compensation Act.
House Bill 44, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 57.
House Bill 57, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to Homeland Security regarding emergency powers, right to bear arms.
House Bill 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to election judges.
House Bill 61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81.
House Bill 81, introduced by the education community, an act relating to community colleges.
House Bill 81, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83.
House Bill 83, introduced by Representative Olson, an act relating to district courts regarding court judge increase.
House Bill 83, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill 31, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health, medical safety, event reporting, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 31, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F.,
aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Pedersen. Peterson.
Aye.
I can't read. Vilt.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 31, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 31 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
House Bill 36, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to notaries and notarial acts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 36. This is a simple change in a number of places in this bill, references made to notarial acts that involve corporations or joint stock associations, and that fails to take into account all of the various business entities that may need a notarized instrument and should be covered by this act. So what we've done here is replace the words corporation or joint stock association in several places in the bill with the word business entity, and in a couple of places we've changed who the person is that would execute, what we call the person that would execute on behalf of that organization, so that we use a term that's universal to all of them. And then the real key to the amendment is the change on page 5, line 21, where we delete corporation or association, and we say business entity means a corporation, limited liability company, partnership, or other entity, whether for profit or nonprofit, authorized to be formed under the Wyoming Business Corporation Act or the laws of another state that are the functional equivalent, because we do have business organizations from other states that come in, and we need to also cover them under the Act. So it's not hostile to the Act. It's for the purpose of making it applicable to all the different kinds of business organizations that need to avail themselves of it, and I would urge your favorable vote for this amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number one to House Bill 36. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 36 has been adopted. House Bill 36 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Harshman, aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 36, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 36 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59, introduced by Representative Martin, an act relating to the Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities Program, TANF amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 59, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Childers. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Aye. Dirks. Aye. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Esquibel F. Aye. Esquibel K. Aye. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Aye. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lebno, aye. Madden, aye. Martin, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Horberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlek, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, Slater, aye. Stewart, Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, aye. Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 59, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 59 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, introduced by Representative Philp, an act relating to the state auditor regarding criminal background checks, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 64, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Anderson. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Childers. Childers. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Aye. Dirks. Aye. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Esquibel F. Aye. Esquibel K. Aye. Gilmore. Aye. Gingery. Aye. Goggles. Aye. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. Aye. Harvey. Aye. Eichel. Aye. Illaway. Aye. Yagi. Aye. Jones. Aye. Jorgensen. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lebno, aye. Madden, aye. Martin, aye. McComey, McComey, Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlek, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, aye. Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. Anderson, aye. Childers, aye. McComey, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 64, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 64 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71.
House Bill 71, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public lands regarding emergency fire suppression account, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 71, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, aye. Anderson, aye. Bagby, aye. Berger, aye. Blake, aye. Brechtel, Brown, aye. Buchanan, aye. Childers, aye. Kraft, aye. Davison, aye. Dirks, aye. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquibel F., aye. Esquibel K., aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp. Philp. Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 71, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 71 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to local governments regarding reverse 9/11 emergency systems, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 86, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan. Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 86, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 86 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, introduced by Representative Samuelson, an act relating to state lands regarding the Board of Land Commissioners' conservation easements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 111, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson,
aye.
Bagby,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart, Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 111, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 111 has passed the House. Representative Edwards.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I'd like to call your attention up to the south balcony here, where one of my very good friends and a man that talked me into to getting into this body. And former president of the Senate, Mr. Jim Twyford. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider only the budget bill, House Bill 1.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed signify by saying no. Representative Ken Esquivel.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. We are continuing with consideration of the budget bill, House Bill 1. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor, please.
Go ahead.
Members of the House, this state of ours is blessed with a lot of great grade schools throughout the system, and we have one of those great grade schools, alliteration, I think, here with us today, and it's the Crest Hill Grade School in Casper, Wyoming, and their teacher, Amy Sorensen, I think, is, last I saw her, she was in the balcony behind you, and on my left, your right, is the balance of the class. Give them a legislative welcome.
Chairman Phillip, what's your pleasure?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, that brings us to Section 48, Department of Health. And Representative Harshman will explain that.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm grateful for the Chairman of Appropriations to allow me to present Agency 48, Department of Health. Here's my and the rest of the appropriations budget file on. So if you'd get out your budget book, you'll get the kind of 30,000-foot overview. But I have some stuff here in case you might have questions. We can drill a little deeper. Mr. Chairman, members, if you would look in your tray, I had it distributed last night, and I distributed it again this morning, the one-pager. And if we can take $846 million in general fund, $1.5 billion total, and put it on one page, I'm all for it. So if you can find that in your tray, it's been distributed again this morning. Mr. Chairman, also there's, I distributed for your information some information on the growth of government spending over the last decade, and there's actually, if we include the JEC actions at the Department of Health, which brings that total general fund up to $846 million for this next biennium. That's 188% growth in general funds over the last 10 years. Okay, Mr. Chairman, if you folks have your one-pager in front of you, I will. The divisions in the Department of Health are the Director's Office, the Office of Rural Health, Community and Family Health, Health Care Financing, the State Health Officer, Preventative Health and Safety. Now, mental health and substance abuse have combined. There was a separate substance abuse division, but of our work last year, those two divisions have combined. Developmental disabilities and the Division on Aging. Now, as the good representative from Powell talked yesterday, the base budget is what we passed for the previous biennium, and you can see that amount, $1.3 billion and 1,537 employees, 1,537 employees. Now, what we added to that as a body last year and rolled into the standard budget with our exceptions last year in a non-budget year, you can see we grew the budget from $1.3 billion to $1.49 billion last year in a non-budget year and increased the number of employees. Now, the governor's request, as you can see, puts 38.1 more million dollars into this budget, and that is for 1.529. That's 1,529,000,000. Now, to the right of that on your one pager, 21.3 is general fund. You can see a reduction also in federal funds, the minus 7.1 in federal funds, and then also an increase in other funds. And those other funds could be from agency trust funds, tobacco trust, all kinds of other funds out there. And that's 23.9 million. So the governor's actions then, and I will say that the governor certainly did not honor all the exception requests that came to him from this agency. But 38.1 million added to this budget. Now, I would say that 15.3 of that 38.1, 15.3 is actual new funding. Some of the rest of that is really biennialized funding where we only funded things for 1 year, continuance of existing programs with cost of living adjustments and those kind of things equals about 17 million. So only about 15 million then is actual new funding. Now the JEC action, we didn't take much away. We actually added to it, and you'll see that. So we pushed that budget from $1,529,000,000 to $1,540,000,000. So our JEC actions increased this budget by $11,231,000, and I'll explain why. As you look under there on your one pager, the major actions, we only cut $300,000 from this budget for a needs assessment on emergency medical services. Now, the major additions that we added to this, we allowed the agency to carry over $148,000 on the colorectal cancer screening program. And you'll remember last year we passed that program. We also added $158,407 for a family treatment court in Judicial District 5A. That program has been running somewhat in a pilot deal. It was going to go away. There was an amendment in the JEC committee, and it passed the committee. In addition, the governor sent us some letters on as new information came in that added to the budget. And you can see we added $8,125,000, and I believe that was governor letter number four, which due to increased costs in our development disabled programs as far as new clients served, an ECA adjustment, and increased expenditures in that program. And then finally, there was a $2.8 million amendment for, and that should be salary. You can see the typo there. Salary increases for direct care personnel at our senior centers across the state. And we heard testimony where these are direct care providers, folks who are cooking the meals and providing the services. They're just having a hard time, like many of our government agencies or services, of retaining folks because the private sector is so competitive with wages. So we felt, and it passed the JAC, that we would add that and try to get all those folks up to the $9, $10 per hour range to make them competitive with at least our fast food operations in our communities. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is page 9 of your cheat sheets. You'll find more information on Agency 48 and also on page 27 of your bill. Now, if you have more questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need some additional information on the $2.8 million. The direct care personnel at the senior centers, then, are they county employees or state employees? And is that general fund money? And then the third part, then I would assume that's going to be a reoccurring expense.
Mr.
Representative Hartman,
the $2.8 million will go to the Senior Services Board, which we created probably 4 or 5 years ago, and that is an item in our state budget. They're not technically state employees, no. They're employees of the various senior centers. And then that will be distributed through the state, the Senior Services Board, to our local entities. And the question was, that will become, it's my understanding, part of the budget for that we will send out to the Senior Services Board in the future. Maybe the chairman, if I'm
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That, but I think that's correct. Thank you.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't believe all 60 of you are standing. This budget continues to grow, as does this department. This department, as far as I can see, you quibbled a minute ago about $2.5 million. We all ought to be quibbling about this particular budget. If you take a look at what the good representative, and thank you for sending out your cheat sheet, it continues. I mean, the base budget was 1,537 employees. Now the standard budget's 1,559 employees. The governor's request was 1.5, the JAC action. Come on, people, we need to take a look at the Department of Health. One representative and I from went over and talked to them about the health care facilities and inspecting division. They are 200 facilities behind in taking a look and telling people that they can go ahead and build hospitals and clinic cares and so forth. They quibble about a whole bunch of things, but they are 200 hospitals behind, or healthcare facilities. Yet they want more money. It's costing the healthcare facilities that want to build and do healthcare in this state a lot of money to go out of state to hire people to come in and inspect what this department should be doing. We're going to approve a budget that continues to grow, and pretty soon it's going to be one of these things where this department comes here and we write the check and go home. We're not going to have enough money to continue to allow this department to grow. I recommend that we start taking a very good look at this department. I know JAC does an excellent job of looking, but somewhere we've got to come to a halt. And I know the representative from the northern part of the country is going to talk about some other things that they do. They do good work, but I also think that we as a legislature need to get in and take a look at what this department does. It may take a month to understand, but we better start doing it because, as far as I can see, it continues to go out of control.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a comment more on process rather than, in particularly footnote three. Footnote three provides $158,000 to the Warland judge to do this pilot family treatment court. I don't disparage him for getting his money, and I won't try to take away his money. He figured out the system, and more power to him for figuring out the system. And he learned how to work around the legislative system. I just don't agree with how this process worked. We created last year, a bunch of folks came down to spend more money on drug courts. This body said no, and instead we created a legislative committee to study the issue. That legislative committee was created. We met numerous times this year. We issued a report. We made recommendations. This judge in particular didn't like our recommendations because what we essentially said was, all these courts need to be treated fairly. We shouldn't be playing favorites as to the one judge that's figured out the system, that's figured out how to lobby better than the other judges. If we're going to treat all these judges the same, we need to treat them the same and not play favorites. In particularly, you'll notice, if you look over and where the judges are funded,
There was actually more than just this one judge that asked for this same money. And they were both actually rejected, and then the money was put back into the Department of Health. Also, it says pilot family treatment court. These courts are already up and running. I don't understand why it even says pilot in there. And then it has for this peer review committee, which seems to fly in the face of the idea of creating the drug court steering committee last year, if we're going to create another committee to study this project. I mean, we're creating committee after committee to study project after project. I think we'd already had resolved this. And again, more power to this guy for figuring out how to get his money and go around all of us other legislators and figure out how to get his money in the budget. I just think it's disappointing to these other judges that said, why can't we try this? And we said, no, you need to play with the system. You need to play fairly. And we've set up a fair system for you to be funded. I just completely disagree with how this was funded. And if we're not going to follow a process, then let's just have a free-for-all. And every judge and everybody who wants money can just come down here and just get it any way they want to.
Chairman Lockhart.
Mr. Chairman. Could I?
Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to reply to that because in defense of that judge, he came down and made a presentation at the time that Judiciary was presenting their budget. And there was nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with what the judge did. He did not try to play the system or get around the system. The motion to put this footnote in and put that funding in was my motion in the committee, and the committee voted for the motion. The committee felt that he was doing a good job and deserved to have the resources to conduct his family and drug courts. And he's doing a good job. He's doing it within the judiciary system. But it was my motion and that got that money put in, $158,000 for that judge. So, and this judge is doing a very good job. He's covering two counties. And, if they can keep kids from having to go into out-of-home placement, into court-ordered placement, that saves the state money. And I think this is money that's very well spent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before we move on, I see a good chairman there waiting. I wanted to answer the chairman from Cheyenne's question about the growth of the budget, and certainly we're all concerned. I would like to mention, though, and I've got a handout I can copy and distribute to you, but it's general fund dollars added to the 910 budget for the Department of Health due to non-budget bills passed in the 06 or 07 sessions. So this isn't the department coming to us and asking. This is what we've done to ourselves in this body. And general fund, $91 million we've added. It's been biennialized, $91 million. So we've added, it was 108, but some of that's going to come down to a $91 million biennialized number. And so it's DD preschools, child immunizations, tax refund for the elderly, child health insurance, mental health and substance abuse, some more DD preschools, Aging Advisory Council, mental health substance abuse, $34 million. Long-term care choices, more mental health substance abuse, more mental health substance abuse. Child health insurance, long-term care choices twice. Health care provider loan repayments. So it's been many, many cuts to this in addition to the budget. It hasn't all been the department coming in just granting, you know, getting whatever exception request. We've done a lot of this to ourselves as well, and so... And particularly in non-budget years, we've seemed to grown the budget as well. So I hope I've shed a little light on the chairman's concerns. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a comment and a question. The comment is that I really appreciate those boil-down cheat sheets that were offered by the good representative from House District 37. That's very useful. It makes it at least understandable to me, and I'd hope that that would continue as a good pattern. My question has to do with footnote number one in the budget, where we did not follow the $300,000 needs assessment. And is that decision for not funding that you believe there's money enough within the department at that level to have done that work without the special $300,000?
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, the good chairman of Minerals is correct. We felt that in this budget there's certainly enough money in the director's office or any of the other divisions to transfer some of that money, so that's what we felt there. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Tempor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're spending $3,000 for every man, woman, and child in the state of Wyoming, about that burden that they pay in taxes for the Department of Health. And there was testimony at one of our Labor, Health, and Social Services committees that was exactly the amount of money that would pay for universal health insurance for every man, woman, and child in the state of Wyoming. And so I guess as a fundamental question, maybe we need to rethink how we do this as a fundamental matter. I don't think in the budget is the way to do that, but I think in a budget that's grown from $400,000 to $1.5 billion in less than 10 years, that maybe we ought to think as a management audit project to just see how we do business and find out if there are some efficiencies in the way to do business. And I know this isn't an indictment at the folks of the Department of Health, because they're doing everything that they can to provide health care in the best way that they can in the state of Wyoming. And it's the structure that we've imposed upon them as a state that is maybe hamstringing them. So while I know we need to talk about this budget and fund it, I think as a fundamental policy matter, we ought to start thinking about why the way that we do business in this state and what we can do to make that more efficient.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think that some of the frustration and everything is well justified. I think this is even a type of scrutiny in itself, this type of discussion. But I think also what this budget reflects is the demand and the need. And I think it also reflects the value we put on health care and the value we put on our health. And I think that you can make a good case that it should be right up there. What do you have without health? What do we have in the state of Wyoming without good population health? What are you going to cut? Are you going to cut the public nursing program? Are you going to cut vaccination for children? Going to cut insurance for children? Going to cut the help that we provide for older people so that they can, as they lose a few functions later on in life, they can still live with some dignity in their homes? I think what we should do is we should take some pride in this budget, that we are willing to spend this much money on the health of the people of the state of Wyoming. That shouldn't be something to wring our hands over. That should be something to celebrate. Now, along that same line, are there efficiencies that we can gain and things that we can do better? Absolutely. One of the things that the Department of Health did that I'd like to just take a moment to tell the body about is a program called Healthy Together. They have saved the Medicaid budget millions of dollars because now they have case managers and nurses who help Medicaid patients work through the healthcare system and get healthier. And because it's getting to be a tougher system to work through all the time. I think that what you see here is also indication of how the costs of health care are continuing to go up, and that's why we haven't come to you with any big proposals on health care insurance, because we're trying to get a handle on this ourselves as a state. And that's why we're looking at some of these prevention programs. And I outlined some of those with, as far as vaccinations and that sort of thing, but you can add this colorectal cancer program that was started last year. The state institutions, that bill failed on the Senate side. Sometimes we need to look at those populations that need service and try to figure out how we can partner with the private sector and prudently be purchasers of those services and use the state institutions for those that we can't purchase. But that's a conversation for the future, and I appreciate this discussion on the health department. But I thought that we should just kind of round this out and make this a little bread, a reason that it's not all hopeless. In fact, there's many, many good things in the state of the health of the people of Wyoming, which translates into productivity and quality of life. Those are the kind of things that we're trying to enhance with a good health system and budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I would tend to agree. I'm speaking in support of the amendment, or support of this section, simply because I think that the Appropriations Committee did as good a job as they can do. And it's appropriate with the information they got. But to say we ought to be proud of the expenditures that we have on that, I've got a real concern for the simple reason we've been getting reports time after time after time. And I believe there's another one that we just recently received from an association in this state. And on page 3, it talks about that direct tax collections by individuals in this state, $3,330 from individuals or four-person family, with an income of $50,000, owning home valued at $150,000. Then you step over into the public service cost and you look at state services alone, which if Department of Family Health is directly in there, $11,670. One family of four would have to make almost four times that to pay for what we put out in state services for that family of four. And folks, you know, it's highly appropriate that we take a real serious look at one of the highest funded departments in the state. And the good representative from Cheyenne is right. We need to look at these things a lot closer because we're heading for a major train wreck. And I think that the good representative and chairman of Revenue has repeatedly said that. And I think that even Appropriations Committee has said that. So I think you need to think about the Department of Health as one of the highest funded agencies in the state. We have an obligation to look at these. I'm going to support the bill, but I think maybe we ought to be looking at the Department of Audit to take a look at some of these agencies. I'm not talking about our audit committee. I'm talking about the Department of Audit for the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move that the House rise and sit again at 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your corporation, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet immediately in House 18. We'll discuss House Bill 145, Professional Commercial Licenses, House Bill 125, Insurance Use of Credit Information, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, and we'll begin hearing testimony on Senate File 11, Engrossed Subdivisions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, room H18, to consider House Bill 98, Speech Pathologist Licensing, House Bill 153, Economic Development Account 2, House Bill 100, State Funds Investment and Management Review, and House Bill 11, Wyoming Homemade Products.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number, the committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment in room H17 to discuss House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure, House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement, House Bill 51, Multiple Special Handicap License Plates, House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations, and House Bill 108, Railroad Quiet Zones.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday, February 20th, 8 a.m., room H10, to consider two bills, House Bill 53, Garnishees, Administrative Fees, House Bill 103, Game and Fish Pioneer Licenses.
The House will stand in recess until, or the Committee of the Whole will stand in recess till 1:30.